This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have a funky Christmas.
And elsewhere. 23 days until Christmas. We're in the middle of Hanukkah right now. Happy, happy to those who celebrate. Wow, I cannot believe it. We really are steaming toward the tail end of the year. Coming up, we'll have some of our best of shows, some of the great interviews during the year, and so much of the conversation that we had about what was the water cooler buzz, the virtual water cooler buzz across the land. Some of it pandemic related, some of it gas prices related, the economics of what was happening in your neighborhood and mine, cybersecurity. Some incredible things happened this year, not all of them negative. Sadly, at the tail end of the year, we have had some terrible things happen. The Christmas parade, just awful, outside of that, we had this Michigan school shooting. So kids killed just going to a parade, kids killed at school. Nothing infuriates me more, and probably you too. It's just heartbreaking. Some more details are emerging about this 15-year-old suspect, Ethan Crumley. What's interesting is now that the prosecutor is suggesting, and this is Oxford High School. It's about an hour outside of Detroit. She is suggesting she may charge the teen's parents. It's unusual to do that, but one that she says she thinks is necessary to combat the school shootings, the shootings by minors just in general. So it's unclear how this 15-year-old got the gun from his father. And what the prosecutor is saying is that the gun owners have a responsibility to secure the weapons, especially when young people are involved, and they should be held accountable for that. Adult gun owners are almost never, of course, held accountable when their children use weapons to harm themselves or others. You know, what would happen if they didn't have the access to their family's guns? If you look at school shootings since 1999, the Washington Post, anyway, did an analysis on it and came up with the theory that a lot of that would not have happened. If you look at school shootings, the overwhelming majority are committed by students, of course, and majority of those students have guns they brought from their homes or relatives' home. Not all, but some, or the vast majority, anyway. So while it seems school shootings, when you think of how many schools there are rare, in 2021, there have been 34. 34. That's the most in any year since 1999. And we're talking about K through 12 campuses. Any school shooting is too many. Any school shooting is terrible. And you think of these kids, and it's always the stories you hear, the honor student, the helpful kid, the kid with a bright future. I mean, any kid. It doesn't matter. But you're hearing the stories of those emerging. And, of course, one was a hero because he charged the shooter and died as a result of that. So four dead, others injured. It's just cold, calculating, sickening. It is just sickening. So there's where we start. Again, Kate Delaney, we got the red carpet rolled out for you, whether you're here in the good old United States or someplace else listening to this show. Welcome to it. So this is certainly a lot of what's being talked about. You don't want to catastrophize, right? Like every day, what's the catastrophe of the day? Because there's always catastrophes. But this is just plain damn sad. It just is, right? Will they be charged? Who knows? And then should they be charged? That's the other side of this that you can look at, for what's happened here. Apparently, the 15-year-old had done a bunch of videos that he was absolutely going to go on a rampage. He couldn't wait to get to school to shoot people. He came out of a bathroom with a backpack on and started shooting. And, you know, kids now, unlike when I went to school and maybe many of you, we didn't practice shooting drills. We had, I went to one of the biggest high schools in the country, and that's high school. We had bomb threats. We had bomb threats, and we had, it seemed like fire alarm was being pulled all the time, and we were having fire drills and threats of fires or whatever. But no practicing for an active shooter. This is normal. My nephew, who's 20, from the time he was in kindergarten, had those drills. It's normal from nieces, nephews, all of them. You ask them, I ask them about it. It's normal. That's exactly what one's in Florida. The others are in New Jersey and some other places, Pennsylvania. And this is they know what to do. They know where to go. And that's what happened. Some of them ran. Some of them got behind barricaded doors. They piled up chairs. Very scary. But ultimately, there's always many that don't have a chance to do that because that's not what you're expecting. He flies out the door of a bathroom, and then he starts shooting. And that's what happened. A lot of them were hit. A lot of the kids were hit right away, right in the very beginning of this. So he's being held without bail, and he didn't enter a plea. So a not guilty plea was entered on his behalf. His parents appeared side by side in a virtual appearance before switching off their cameras for the remainder of the hearing. And prosecutors haven't said what they believe may have motivated the teenager, but there's a mountain of evidence saying that the shooting was premeditated, that it's not even a close call is what they're saying. Not even a close call. And because of something that had happened at the school, the parents had already had a conference the day before with some people at the school, and then they did also on Tuesday morning. So back-to-back meetings for two different incidents, and then this happens, and geez, I mean, you know, we've had experts on before. We've talked about this before, and we'll talk more about it. But look, I'm for responsible gun ownership. I don't know what happened with this family. We don't know how he got the gun. Should they be charged? I mean, let's see what they come up with here. All right, the first case, Omicron, in the U.S., California, found in a patient there. So it is here. We're not surprised by that. That's the other big buzz in the land. Stay with us.
Heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Just the facts, ma'am.
All right, just the facts. Happy birthday to a few interesting ladies, an actress, a comedian, and a singer who first made it popular to chill out in Vegas and make a ton of cash and do shows for a few years. Now you got Adele doing it. Before you had Celine Dion, and even Britney Spears was in that mix. Bette Midler, 76 years old. Boy, interesting to look at her career. She has been in a bunch of different movies, obviously, but I think of her as, you know, the big contract she signed with Caesar's Palace for a residency, which was from 2008 to 2010, and then a bunch of different Broadway musicals also that she was part of, and has had a very interesting career. And certainly she's won Gold Globe Awards for Best Actress for something that she was in, and she was in Ruthless People and The Addams Family and Big Business and Beaches and Hocus Pocus and all of that. You could go and look at her long list, I think, of different movies, etc., that she has been in. All right, also Sarah Silverman, 51 years old. And Sarah Silverman is one of those edgy comedians where people either love her or don't like her, but I respect the fact that she dances on the line and doesn't care. She does what she wants to do. She does her brand of satirical or deadpanish kind of comedy, right? And she's won a couple of primetime Emmy Awards, so good for her. But she definitely has the knack of getting under the skin of some and winning the incredible applause of others. That's what comedy does. That's why comedy is so tricky right now. So tricky. And then there is an American actress named Golden Brooks. I love that name, Golden Brooks. And she's been in Time Code, Imposter, a Showtime comedy series, Lynx. She was in that, too, as well. And a bunch of different movies, from Something New to The Darkest Minds to a TNT series. I remember seeing her in I Am the Night. And she's got everything from dance to a master's degree from Sarah Lawrence College. The backgrounds of some of these actresses are interesting to me, because she's been someone who's been in heavy dramas, but then she's been in these comedies too. So she's 51 years old, just like Sarah Silverman. Same thing. All right, and this is kind of rando, but it is just the facts, and just the facts here. Where is the most expensive zip code in the U.S.? They didn't ask me to try out for Jeopardy, but I do know the most expensive zip codes in the U.S. in 2021. I don't know that you would be overly shocked at some of them. Where do you think they would be? I mean, if you just like were to look at a map, California. Right? Of course, California would be in there, in the Bay Area and in L.A. and in other places, I think, all over California. There'd be at least a few of them. And sure enough, when I looked it up, that is, in fact, the case. 7.5 million, Atherton, California, the most expensive zip code for the fifth consecutive year. You know what the zip code is? 94027. 94027. And then, second to that would be Boston, 02199. That's the number two spot. 5.5 million is, again, the median sale. We're talking about houses. So the same thing in Atherton. That's the median, 7.5. And California has 70% of the most expensive zip codes of all in the United States. And why? Because they get taxed. Seriously. It is tough. I think it is tough to live in California. I have friends in California, and they always complain to me about what it costs. And I lived in California, and even when I lived in California, I thought it was super expensive. The thing that really always got me is I would pull up to the DMV, and I'm serious. If you drove a car with bald tires, it was smoking in the back, it was barely falling apart, but it passed inspection, they were charging you through the nose for your tags and everything else. Renewal time? Did you pass inspection? Great! Here's the bill, and it's big, baby. So if you had a super slick vehicle, I can only imagine what they would charge you. I mean, you live in a shack, and it's a fortune. Absolutely, it's a fortune. All right, let's hit up a couple of other things. Just the facts. So, just the facts. These are snippets. Disney has announced plans to spend, ready for this, $33 billion on content in 2022. Mm-hmm. I was part of this crew on Sunday, because I flew on Sunday after the Thanksgiving holiday. TSA scanned 2.45 million flyers. That's the highest during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. How about this? Do you hate trolling? You know, you go on social media, and it's so easy to be anonymous and say crappy, crummy things about sometimes something that doesn't really need to be said, right? Australia drafted some legislation that could force social media companies to reveal the identity of anonymous users engaging in online trolling. They're going to out the trollers. Ooh, I don't know that that comes to the U.S. I don't think so. I think there would be some pushback on that. Elon Musk is warning that SpaceX staffers, he's telling them, that the production crisis for their Starship engine is worse than expected and could pose a threat of bankruptcy. What? How did that happen? All right, air travel. We know there's been a sharp decline. Of course there has been because of the wonderful pandemic that we've been living in for 20 months. So if you look at the averages, I saw a cool chart on a thing that I look at called The Hustle. And I know this is not surprising to me. Top business destinations, right? The percentage of change in flight searches for top business destinations from 2019 to 2021, Hong Kong is down 88%. London is down 52%. Paris is down 47%. Then let's jump to the U.S. San Francisco, 35%. Chicago, 32%. New York, 29%. Why? Because you can virtually do it. You don't have to travel. And that's the thing, right? So how do you get people to travel? And especially at the height of the pandemic, which is why people are so scared about the Big O, because of what that could mean to travel again, just when we're starting to get out of the fatigue, let's put it that way, that that we have all been in. You may know this by now. I think it's just kind of interesting. The Twitter CEO, Jack Dorsey, resigned. So pretty easy to replace him, right? Lots of people want to jump into that spot. They had somebody in the wings, so no problem. He's the CEO of two companies. So for years, he was running both Twitter and Square. You know the whole payment thing? You go and somebody hands you it, and they swipe the card on Square. And, I mean, that company, $98 billion in payments. $98 billion. $37 billion on Twitter. That's the valuation for the social network. So he's leaving Twitter after 16 years and a whole bunch of roles. He was a co-founder. He made a ton of money. I mean, he tweeted out his resignation email, of course. And why is the reasons that he's ready to move on? Because he has somebody good that can run the company. Because it's time. And they've got ambition and potential with Twitter employees. So no reason, right? It's time to move on to something else for Jack Dorsey. All right, how about this? This is just the facts. Demand for maple syrup has jumped 21% this year, causing Quebec, which supplies 70% of the world's syrup, to release 50 million pounds from what they call their strategic reserves. Why is that? Because we find comfort in eating waffles and pancakes, and I know some of you eat your French toast with syrup. I grew up where some of you call it cinnamon toast, but we call it French toast, and we use cinnamon sugar and butter on ours. Either way, syrup, 21%. Woo! On that note, we're going to dash on out of here. Meet you on the flip side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The new COVID variant Omicron has been identified in the United States. A person in California who traveled to South Africa recently has tested positive. White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci.
We knew that it was just a matter of time before the first case of Omicron would be detected in the United States.
He said that person is fully vaccinated and is now experiencing some mild symptoms.
My colleagues on the medical team and others have been saying we know what we need to do to protect people.
The White House says Americans not yet vaccinated should do so, and those people who are eligible for a booster shouldn't wait. The Biden administration is expected to extend mask requirements on public transit, including planes, trains, and buses, through mid-March due to the new variant. This is USA Radio News. A Republican congressman is speaking out about the price tag of the social spending bill.
With the bipartisan infrastructure package passed into law, Democrats are now focused on passing President Biden's Build Back Better agenda to provide Americans with more benefits and good-paying union jobs. Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan joins Fox Business and says he hopes the bill does not pass the Senate, otherwise inflation will continue to grow.
When you spend like crazy, you shouldn't be surprised when you get a 31-year high inflation rate. So that's where we're at. Let's hope they stop it.
The Biden administration continues to say it expects inflation to decrease in 2022. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The wife of music legend Clarence Avant, Jacqueline, was shot to death at her home in Beverly Hills. Police are still investigating the motive behind the shooting. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs understands the importance of supplementing with glucosamine and chondroitin for optimal health and vitality. That's why he recommends Glucogel from Youngevity.
Get on the Glucogel caps from Youngevity. They're a great way to treat arthritis and any kind of joint issues. And oh, by the way, glucosamine is great for helping support the vascular system, the blood vessel system too. So you'll get multiple benefits from the Glucogel caps. You'll be able to treat your arthritis and joints as well as your, as well as the circulatory system. And also the Glucogel caps can help prevent wrinkles. The Glucogel caps support collagen synthesis.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your joint, circulatory system, and skin health by ordering Glucogel from Youngevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Krevda is with us, and he's got a book called The Greatest Story Never Told. Wait till you hear his story and what this is about. And I love the title because it is so apropos to what we're talking about. So, Vincent, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate, for inviting me to meet with your audience. This is an exciting day for me.
So let's talk about the book. What's the book about? I love the title. It's very provocative in a good way.
Thank you. Well, we know that the Bible evolved from what is called the oral tradition to a written form. The book both describes and outlines what those stories would have sounded like and meant to the original audiences because they were told in family settings within the mishpachah where everyone would enjoy a meal and tell tales. And so you got to ask yourself, well, why is that important? What I'm suggesting is if we consider how those stories were told and sounded like to the original audience, it will change the way we view the messages in the Bible. Our Creator designed the Bible not to serve as his vehicle for instructional compliance. It's not a book of answers. Instead, it teaches us how to ask questions. And it teaches us to ask those questions relevant to each generation because each generation experiences something different and searches for meaning all on their own terms. And most importantly, though, it teaches us the problems that we encounter and how we're to interact and relate with others and remind us of how we should live in this present world.
What did you find out, Vincent, about writing this book that surprised you?
I think the biggest part, because I come from a very, very strict religious upbringing, the Torah and the Bible does not answer questions. Instead, it really directs us to ask questions. And those questions we ask put our Creator on trial. Now, that's not an irreligious perspective. The mother who has suffered through birth with a baby born with hypoplastic left heart syndrome is absolutely justified in questioning the extent to which her Creator has forgotten both her and her child. The boy, born with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, knows he's been handed a death sentence and that the muscles of his heart will eventually expire. The Torah facilitates our ability to question why. It places God on trial, and it also teaches us how to work out how we must live in this present world.
And again, we're speaking with Vincent Krevda, and the name of the book is The Greatest Story Never Told. And once you get the book, you can go deeper into some of what we're talking about here. For example, we're going to talk about, you know, your characterization of the creation story as a backdrop to promote messages of faith. And we can't dive too deep into this because we'll run out of time. But give us a little thumbnail of it. What brought you to that point of consideration?
So the creation account in Genesis is a spectacular ancient writing that still even today relates to us. Creation is depicted in a primordial water state, dominated by darkness, yet above all of those conditions rested the Spirit of God hovering over chaos. And when we begin to think about the past year and a half of this pandemic, this COVID pandemic, we're facing uncharted waters. We're facing fear. We're facing darkness. We're facing uncertainty. And most of all, chaos. At Oakstone Academy in Westerville, Ohio, we welcome back our students in August of 2020. But look at it from their perspective. Not only at Oakstone, but at academies and schools all throughout the globe, a senior class was entering their final year of required studies before they would embark on a lifetime adventure. I challenged my students to consider this. They could either live in darkness and fear, or they could embrace the storyline in Genesis. And that storyline, quite frankly, is very simple. The popular culture of that day promoted the idea that man was created to serve the gods. Marduk created man to serve the gods. That meant man was a fate-supportive cast member who was required to daily dig out and create irrigation pathways for canals and scour the earth for food to survive. But the storyline in Genesis challenged that popular ideology. It taught that man was created to be fruitful, to multiply, to teem with life, to dominate the earth and the beast of the field. And when you hear that story, when that ear catches a hold of that message, my goodness, it's much different. Let me give a good example. Genesis 1 and 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness he called night, and now is evening and morning on the first day. Meanwhile, back on the ranch, the story progresses. In the sixth chapter, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of waters. And for years, Kate, I didn't even know what a firmament was. And let it divide the waters from the waters. The Hebrew word for firmament is a word that describes a beaten metal plate. So you can easily imagine, as the story was being told, it required dramatic acting. Your favorite uncle would pretend to beat down a metal plate as he was describing how the primordial waters were all separated. But then, on day one, light was created. On day two, a metal plate was constructed as a barrier. But then on day four, the sun, the moons, the stars were created to regulate days, seasons, months, and years. Now, this story required the audience to ask questions. So what kind of questions would have been asked? What was the light created by God on day one? Why did darkness hover over the face of the deep and not light? Did God create darkness? Did God create evil conditions evident in the world? If God created those evil conditions, then what purpose do those conditions serve? Now, there's another great story in that first chapter, because I kind of separate these out in my book. The creation of man. Peculiar words are used in this description. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, the word for man is not the traditional word that's used. The traditional word for man is ish. The word zakar is used. And that could be a verb, which means to remember, or it could mean man. A most logical conversation after that story would have unfolded would have been something like this. What does God want man to remember? That conversation at that point could go anywhere. After dinner, we've got time. Must we remember that we are created in the image of God? And if so, how should we treat others? What will happen to me after I die if I'm created in the image of God? Why are some born to riches and wealth while others seemingly are mired in poverty and misery? But, you know, the most important question, does God remember me? Because isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. We could talk all day about this. I don't want to run out of time. We have about a minute left. And again, we're speaking with Vincent Krevda, The Greatest Story Never Told, Oral Tradition and the Development of Messages in the Bible. That's the other part of this. You can get it on Amazon, wherever great books are sold. What do you hope people take away from reading this book?
I want people to fall in love with the messages in the Bible. I worked in a corporate job for 37 years. I would wake up each morning, read the Bible to search for meaning in my own life. And the messages in the Bible are much different than what many of us have learned that what they are. I'm convinced you will find the characters that I've outlined in the Bible to be totally relatable to everyday life. And some of these stories would make Netflix blush. They include murder, betrayal, deceit, greed, corruption, but they inspire faith as the basis to connect with our Creator. And for that reason, this is the greatest story never told.
Wow, perfect place to wrap this up. Vincent Krevda, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate.
you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
The book is called Sparrows of Senegambia, and we have with us in our virtual green room Dr. Charles Sampson. He has quite a background. In talking to him off the air, you know, he's a founding member of the Harry S. Truman School of Public Affairs, University of Missouri. He's a founding member of the University of Missouri Department of Black Studies. He got a Ph.D. in Public and International Affairs, University of Pittsburgh in the 70s. And it's fascinating. We could talk to him about a lot of different things. We're going to focus in, obviously, on his book, but his studies focused on urban and regional planning. I was just thinking about this the other day. And plus, he's a Fulbright scholar, and he has done so much more as far as traveling and speaking and all of that. Dr. Sampson, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So, tell us about the book. What led you to writing this book?
Well, the book, Sparrows of Senegambia, has its beginnings probably around 2005. In 2005, I was working with a group called the Consortium on International Management Project and Development. It's a group of professors and other scholars who work with developing democracies. In this instance, we were working with developing democracies in sub-Saharan Africa. that trip took us in 2005 to Senegal. And we were at a slave port in Senegal, the Gori Island in particular. And we had had a conversation with Senegalese professionals about the impact of Senegalese participation in the slavery movement. And I was flabbergasted when my colleague from Senegal indicated that his ancestors were really not aware of the long-term impact of slavery. And I was absolutely floored. And so I began to think about my growing up in America. I'm very proud to be an American. I've had a very, very good life. I lived through segregation and second-class citizenship. And so I was thinking that once we traveled to Africa, we would find folks who were aware of what their ancestors had done to my ancestors. But that was not the case. And so that led to me, that led me to keep closer track, close attention to the places that we tracked to while we were on that continent. I've been on that continent, to 16 or 17 countries on that continent over a 15 or 20 year period. And so I was able to make, comparisons of what I thought was versus what I had seen. And that's probably too long of an answer, but that's the answer to your question.
So as you dug into this, so interesting and spending all that time, what did you find that maybe surprised you that you put in the book?
Well, a number of things. I am a Christian, but I was surprised at the participation of the churches in Africa, because in Gori Island, and off the Dakar, Senegal, the slaves who lost the intergroup battles were stored in the basement of churches, very adjacent to the Atlantic Ocean. So I was surprised that churches participated in that. I'm discovering that I was really naive about those things. So that was a surprise. And I was also surprised when we traveled to other parts of on the continent how friendly the people are and how unaware it seemed to me that they were of their condition. The continent was divided by large European countries. And I found that in places where the English were the colonizers, those countries were better off. And where French colonized, those countries were not so well off. So that I could go on and on and on, but those are some of the things that come to mind immediately.
Yeah. When people read Sparrows of Senegambia, what do you hope they take away?
Well, I hope that they will see why I have chosen that topic to be that title to begin with. Sparrows are small birds. They are very, very sturdy birds that fight against the environment that they find themselves in. And as I thought about what my family had faced, we were like sparrows in my mind. And sparrows fly above their circumstance to get away from doom and dismay. So that's why the sparrows. Senegambia is a place that no longer is known by that name. Senegambia is on the tip of the west coast of Africa, and it included the Gambia and Senegal and other adjoining countries. That doesn't exist anymore. But the sparrows of Senegambia suggested to me that the generations that I found in my family, and we could only go back to the years immediately following the Civil War, the census of 1870. So I could only find six generations of my family. And I trace all of that back. I trace how illiteracy held us back. I trace how the founding of the country and the impact of the country and how it developed, that is, that wealth and planters played a big part in the development of our country. All of those things, I think I'm kind of wondering, but all of those things come together.
Yeah. For you, was it obviously it was interesting. Was it kind of fun to put this together, to really dive deeper?
Yeah, it was fun. I had to crawl into my imagination for a lot of that. I created a time machine, and so I traveled through the summer forest of my mind, and I get into my time machine, and I fly up to places in this country, to places in Africa, and I make comparisons. And that's how I move through the book to discuss those things.
Yeah, so interesting. Any other books on the horizon for you?
Well, I have written most recently, about 3 or 4 years ago, a book called... what is the name of my book? Now, this is terrible. I'm here on a national hookup, and I forget the name. Has to do with black cities and how black cities have cropped up as a result of the public law that created the Voting Rights Act. And the title of that book is Vanishing Beacons. I see vanishing beacons. Beacons obviously are lights, and mayors are lights for the cities that they serve. But all mayors, be they black, be they white, are handicapped by the lack of resources to provide for the development of the needs of their citizens. And so that's what the book is about. And then I wound up comparing a group of black-run cities with a group of white-run cities to see how they spend their monies, and I found that there was no significant difference in how they spent their monies. So that's what I wrote in a year or so after I retired. And before then, I wrote a book called Values, Bureaucracy, and Public Policy. So that's how my academic life has been spent.
Yeah, and that makes sense because of what you've done in your academic life and how you could weave that into these both of those books that you mentioned, certainly. I like the fact that you said that you went into your imagination for this one. So interesting. And again, you can get the book on Amazon or B&N or wherever great books are sold. Sparrows. My grandmother loved sparrows, so you really put that in my head. Sparrows of Senegambia. Dr. Charles Sampson, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me, and you have a good holiday.
You too. Thank you.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.